Hey, girl. Hey. You back. Girl, it's okay. Let's see what I have for you today. Mwah. Hey, girl. Hey. Welcome back, you guys, to Season 5, Episode 2, The Real Table Talk Church Kids Edition. We are continuing with a new set of co-hosts to address how being church kids can be a struggle to balance when real world issues come about. This panel is for the younger teen / youth to answer you guys' questions. So here we go. This will be a tough conversation to have, but y'all, we got this. Ladies and gentlemen, introduce yourselves, please.
Okay, I'll go first. My name is Miracle. I'm 16. I'm a junior in high school. And to be on this podcast and speak with everyone here. So yeah, thank you for letting me be up here.
You want to go? Oh, you already got.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm Casey. I'm 17 years old and I'm excited to join this podcast.
What's up? My name's CJ. I'm 17. I'm a Gemini, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to be on this podcast.
Thank you guys so much, and I'm also grateful for you guys to be on here. So are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, let's get this thing started. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation." This scripture helped us to know our identities, not just in Christ, but how it should reflect in the world too. The church pushed us to take authority and to walk in who we are called to be. However, sometimes when the world is telling or showing you otherwise, we tend to sometimes forget who we are. That's what comes with the territory, though, of being church kids. So you guys, if you could choose one word to describe how it is being a church kid, what would it be? And is it difficult staying in the church because of worldly things we face on a day-to-day basis? Anybody can go first.
I'll go first. A word I say is pressure. That's a word I choose. Definitely.
Okay. Okay, why would it be pressure?
A lot of expectations, especially depending on where you stand in the church, depending on like how involved your folks in. So like say you got, you know, a mother, you know, a musician or an usher or a minister, whatever the case may be, depending on where they stand, depends on how much pressure you really have on you.
Okay. And why do you think it's difficult staying in the church? Like, do you think it's difficult staying in the church because of what we face on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely harder to stay in. Yeah, every day-to-day basis, everything that we, you know, the devil, temptation. Mm-hmm. And it's just us being teens and having our own aspirations to do things. So it's hard, you know, hopefully have enough self-discipline to kind of steer yourself back into it.
Okay. All right, Casey, what you think? What would be one word and why?
I would say, like CJ said, pressure, because of the fact church kids mostly are held to a certain standard or expected to be held to a certain standard. And it's just like, just because we're in the church, we have to, you know what I'm saying, we're the set an example for the other kids, if that makes sense. Or okay, so our ministers, right, or deacons, elders, pastors, or they're very active in the church. We are held to certain standards, so it's like we're being watched, if that makes sense.
So do you think sometimes that pressure can be also a good thing, with showing other kids that you can still do the right thing? Do you guys think that the pressure can sometimes be a good thing as well?
Yeah, I think it can be a good thing. So say if you're like in a crowd of people, your group of friends, like the rest of them don't go to church, and you're the only one. Or like, say y'all in public, and they want to do something, but you're just like, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. You got to be the good child. And be like, no, I don't think that's what we should be doing.
Okay. Miracle, what you have to say? What's your one word?
I would say intimidating. Not that scared to be a church kid. It's a lot of, like they said, it's a lot of expectations and standards that we're held to. And like sometimes the church, people think that because they're a church kid, you don't like to have fun and you're a party pooper and all you do is just be in church, which is not the case. I mean, I like to have fun. And in like Casey said, sometimes it feels like you are being watched. Like everybody's waiting for you to make so they can be like, oh, you're not a church kid. Oh my God, you don't believe in God.
Right. Like, I don't have a life outside of church.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would say I agree totally with everything that you guys are saying, because our parents are ministers. So growing up, it was an expectation. My word will probably be an up and down roller coaster, because it's just like, not only do you have just the pressure and the expectations, but for you personally with God, it's always an up and down. Because it's just like, sometimes, you know, you ask God, you don't question him, but you kind of ask him, be like, you know, why are all these things on this roller coaster, this temptation, this peer pressure, you know, family not acting right, I'm not acting right, or I'm put in certain positions that I don't really want to be put in. So I think sometimes I could say it's just an up and down roller coaster for me, especially, but I know for a lot of other people too, just with the things that come with you growing up in the church, you having a relationship with God. And I think just the things that we do face on a day-to-day basis, it does make it difficult, but it also shows me that up to me being now about to be 20, I would say it kind of shows me that it's not impossible to do. And that's the part that I think a lot of church kids are not encouraged to know, that it does get better. It's not an impossible thing to do. You just have to get through those you know, brick walls and get through those doors that you need to get through. And note that other stuff is going to come, of course, along the way. But once you get through these teenage years, it will get a little bit easier. It will get harder at first, but then it will also get easier over time. So we just got to stay true to who we know we are. So the next question, you guys, that we were asked is, what makes you feel like you belong? So like, what is one thing or one experience that you probably had with somebody in the church, if not any, that made you kind of feel like you belonged in? Kind of feel like I belong in the church as a whole.
I'm the first. excuse me. I would say, I guess, because I grew up in the church that I grew to. So like everybody's basically watched me turn into the person that I am today, and just hearing them be like, oh my God, I watched you grow up and look at you all now. I'm so proud of you. Da 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 da. I guess like the reassurance of, I guess I'm doing something right. I must be doing something right if they're proud. So that definitely made me feel like I belong, especially since I grew up there. So it's like, you know, that's kind of like family.
All right. I mean, I agree with that. It's because we've been, like she said, growing up in church all our lives since we were babies. So it's just like when a lot of people, like when we graduate, say because we're about to graduate, I watched you grow up from a little child. I remember you do this and that, or I know you could do what you know what I'm saying, you're doing now. So it's just like, just with singing in the choir too, or ushering, or whatever they ask us to do, just like, oh, are you volunteering us? We'd be like, oh, Casey can do it. Yeah, so stuff like that.
Okay. What about you, CJ?
I agree with what has been said, you know, simply just being church kids growing up. For me, it was more so, you know, starting off, it was more so of me just being forced to, I really didn't care for going to church. It was just something that we just had to do on Sunday with a kids movie. But, you know, as growing up, you know, starting to go to youth class and everything like that, and then the teachers that was looking over us started to open up more, be more youth friendly. You know, it kind of made me ease up a little bit and kind of be myself around them, and, you know, vice versa.
Okay, so when you say youth friendly, do you feel like they kind of held back when you guys first, like so in you guys' church, do you feel like they kind of hold back on what they explain to the youth or what they let us do? Do you think they kind of still hold back a little bit, or do you think that will forever be a battle?
I agree with both, really. Like, they're definitely going to still hold back, and it's forever going to be a battle on whether they should, you know, hold back or, you know, go all in. But because, you know, it's always somebody looking over them, you know what I'm saying? So they have a priority. They have business, the main thing. Just kind of revert back to when they were kids and try to relate to us, you know what I'm saying? Not in such a public way, if that makes sense, you know? Kind of like those private kind of. So, yeah, I agree with both, really. You know, it's always going to be a battle with that. You know, and, you know, it ain't really no telling what's going to win, who's going to win, you know.
And, too, I think if anybody don't have nothing, I think, too, it's a lot of stuff that our generation does. And not necessarily saying that they expect us to be perfect, because, like you said, a lot of them have done worse than what we would consider bad. But you'll never know until, like, you'll talk to somebody at the church, outside the church, or they'll pull you to the side and talk to you. You'll be like, oh, you did what? So I think at a point in time, I feel like our generation is so open with doing so wrong. And that's not saying that you can't make mistakes, don't get me wrong, but as far as church kids go, we sometimes be the worst ones, sometimes really do be the worst ones. And it's just like, if our parents or if anybody who just helped raise you in the church seeing how you would act right now, would you want them to see you act like that? Screw what your friends may be looking at you to say or whatever you may be faced, but is that something that your foundation or your village has raised you to act like? I think when we really start to reflect on stuff like that, a lot of reflection can cause a lot of solutions to be done. But it has to start with the self-reflecting. Reflection. So, I don't know. This is my take. Oh,
I agree. I mean, like, back then, it's like they don't want to, like, you know, say something wrong out in public. And not just that, I think it's myself. Like, when I meet new people, you're not gonna know my whole life story. I mean,
right?
Like, I'm not telling you my whole life story because I just met you. So I think it comes with building a relationship, and that takes time over time. Because, you know, I was like 4 or 5 in the church. I wasn't doing nothing when I was 4 or 5, and now that I'm like older, I can actually talk about things. And like, it took that time, that decade or so, to like build a relationship. So it's definitely easier than it was to share with, like, our youth leaders.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's a bond that we had to gain with them, like, grow with them over time. It's just not, like, oh, I'm just, like, open up to you right then and there. It's just, like, over time, I got, you know what I'm saying, I felt more comfortable just telling you stuff or speaking on situations that, you know, different situations that we're going through. But I just think that's mostly what it is. And then they'll get comfortable with us. So, like, they'll feel comfortable with giving us advice and not just, you know.
Okay, so it's like a two-way street.
Yeah.
A mutual understanding.
Okay. I learn something new every day. So, while we're talking about that, you guys, a two-way street, so the next question that we got, you guys, was, do you think we as the youth of our generation, but mostly in our church, try to encourage others to do the right thing, meaning speaking up when you see something is not right? So do you think you try to encourage, you know, other peers or other people that you grew up with? outside of church and in the church could be to do the right thing when you see them doing the wrong thing, or just convince them to do it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's both ways. It really goes both ways.
Yeah. Okay, what do you mean when you say both ways?
So, like, I can tell them, it's just like your mom keeps telling you the stove is hot or whatever, and you put your hand on the stove, like, you have to learn for yourself. Like, I can only tell you but so much. So, like, I can be that friend to tell you, don't do this, or I done been through it, so I'm trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? Or some people, they just want to experience it for themselves. I mean, so at the end of the day, it's up to that person to make the choice if they want to do it or not. Yeah, if that makes sense.
All right, CJ,
But you can't make them drink. So I guess I can tell you no.
Right.
A thousand times, but you can still mentally be like, I'm going to still do it, whatever you say. So
exactly.
You know.
So what you think, CJ?
All right, so coming from, you know, self experience, I got a couple of things. You know, one, it simply just depends on, you know, how, I guess, spiritually centered you are and how close you are with, you know, being church, following church rules, and, you know, just being an obedient child. You know, that kind of reflects how you, you know, react to your peers doing, you know, unnecessary or ungodful things. And so, you know, my experience with my case may be, we was all church kids and we hung out outside of church and everything. And, you know, obviously not everything that we did was going to be accepted by our, you know, superiors, whether that was our parents, you know, our pastor, whatever the case may be. You know, I was one of those where I was, at times I was like, yo, you might want to, you know, slow down, chill out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because we get called, you know what I'm saying? Things happen. You know, you're going to get the call on our folks, and it's going to just be a whole lot of mess. And, you know, at times I would join in on it, and at times I would kind of encourage it or boost it just a little bit, you know. And it kind of shared, it kind of went full circle with us, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, that personality or that type of attitude will transfer from person to person. And so,
okay. Miracle, do you have anything to add?
No, I disagree. I mean, like you said, some things that I got friends and do things that are definitely not acceptable to the church at all. Like, I know. And it's like, I can tell them not to do it. I can tell them to not do it. I can tell them to do it. I mean, they know right from wrong. We are not 5 years old anymore.
Right, I'm not your mother.
Yeah, they know right from wrong. So whether I do tell them or I don't tell them, at the end of the day, that decision is really up to them. Like, but some things, it depends, like you said, it depends on what it is. Like if it's life or death, I'm gonna be like, you should relax.
I'm choosing life.
Yeah, it's like, you should relax. But like, if it's not something that's life or death, like something that they probably regret for the next week, oh, so be it. You know, that's your choice to grow in your journey.
Right.
I'm gonna still be there to support you, even though you did make a bad decision. And at the end, I'm gonna be like, I told you so. But then I'm gonna still support you. So.
All right, either way you go.
Correct. And two, I think sometimes it's like our friends don't understand. Sometimes when you're spiritually connected to those friends or those people that you grew up with, sometimes it be our spirit telling us to sometimes tell people stuff too. And so sometimes it's just like people be like, man, you just bugging or stuff like that. But I know when my shadow night is saying something versus my flesh is saying something. And you know how I don't know if y'all ever been in a situation yet, or I hope y'all never have to experience it, but because of how everything is now, you might, or you might already have. But one time, it's this girl that goes to my college. And so one time we be in the group chat texting or whatever, and she likes to get mad drunk when she goes to different parties. So this particular day, I was like, you know, I had a bad feeling in my stomach. I had like the worst feeling, and I had never felt this way before. And so I was like, I don't think, you know, you should really go to the party, et cetera, et cetera. Because I feel like something, like, you just can't control yourself in that setting. And so, you know, I told her, I was like, you know, you got these friends that leave you mad, drunk, leave you at the party, and anything could just happen to you. And I say that to say is it was a simple fact that this particular night, she went anyway. And so I was like, cool, you go. Somebody gonna have to pick you up. I already know this, how it goes. So I'm texting the group chat. No, it was me, our guy friend in the group chat, one of my guy friend classmates, and then one of our girlfriends in the group chat. We were all still up, so just the three of us. I told him I was not getting out of my bed. I had already rubbed my foot together. I was not getting out the bed to go get it. And two, I wasn't even close. It'd be different if I was already out driving, but I'm like, I'm not even close. Like, that's a good 45 if I get to her. So she calling us, and she told us, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at. And I'm looking like, oh, hell. So I'm just like, y'all, let's look at her location and see who is the closest. So our guy friend was the closest, so she ended up fumbling her way back on campus somehow. She was late, y'all. It was a good 1:30 in the morning. And on campus, you don't need to be out that late because anything can happen to you. Yeah. So she up there mad drunk. So we telling her wait by the area on campus, a certain area. It's like a known area that you pretty much just everybody goes there. So she waiting, and we like keep us on the phone. So we on FaceTime, but we like keep on the phone, like stay awake, stay woke, keep the phone up so we can make sure that you okay. So kind of find out this guy was walking past her. He no good. But anyway, he started kind of like touching. Yeah, he started to kind of act some type of way towards her. Y'all kind of read between the lines. And so thankfully, our guy friend walked up, not even, I would say, 2 or 3 minutes later, he walked up. And he like, hey, what you doing? Like, you see she not right. What you got going on? So he's about to be his behind. But anyway, moral of the story short is I feel like that night, obviously, I was up late for a reason because I don't even normally be up that late. But just apparently that day, I was up late doing schoolwork. I had just got off my computer. I rubbed my feet together. I was about to go in. Like, I was about to go in, but I'm like, dang, I'm struggling, like, to go to sleep. And that why I feel like that's what had happened. So I say that, say I hope you guys never have to experience that, but it's just like sometimes I feel like God has, he works in mysterious ways. So I say that to say continue to speak up when you don't feel something is right, because you just never know. That person, it may resonate with them later, and with her, thankfully, it resonated later that those weren't really her friends. She doesn't need to go to parties without, you know, the collective going and leaving with her. And then also she reflected about her drinking. So I say that to say this wasn't the first time we had to, you know, go and get her. But I will say, you know, I'm glad that it was our last time having to go get her like that. So I say that to say keep speaking out when you know, whatever, because it will resonate later. So also too, you know, sometimes it's pleasing to God when we speak up too, not only just the church, but, you know, God encourages us to encourage others to do the right thing. It says acceptable, pleasing his sight. That's what it's saying in the Bible. So we do need to continue to encourage others as well to, you know, do what's pleasing to God. Don't even worry about what I have to say, but you know, look pleasing in his sight. Don't look a hot mess in his sight. If you ain't got to. So, yeah, that's all I had to say about that. So the next one, you guys, is somebody said how to balance school and a social life, but keeping God in it.
Lord help. Got to call his name.
So now I have a question for you guys. Do you guys feel like you do that?
Yeah. I try, at least, for the most part. Because it's like, it's the same cycle. It's the same routine every week. So only Sundays, we go to school all week. Now on the weekends, Sunday comes, it's time to go to church. So, and then us between jobs, or if you play sports, or it's just a hectic schedule. So sometimes I feel like we do forget, you know, about God sometimes with, you know, we get caught up in our own lives and own agendas. So, yeah, it can be a little tough.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you manage to get better at that? Because I take that as you kind of put God on the back burner, because if your work say they want you in 8 a.m., you're going to wake up at 7 o'clock or 6:30 to be there on time. So while in between that, can we not pray? Can we not study our word? I mean, do you pray every morning? Do you pray every night? Do you at least pray over 3 times a week?
I have to pray my strength alone with these kids at school. Oh, just they work my nerves. They work my epileptic nerves. People at work, I have to pray for going to work. Because, oh, the customers, they so disrespectful. They jump across the counter and strangle them. But, you know, I have to hold myself. That's the God in me, not smacking them. Yeah, I swear it can work.
All right, Miracle, what you got to say? I'm a work in progress. I'm not even gonna lie. I am busy every day, Monday through Friday. I'm at school. I'm studying 2 a.m., 3 o'clock in the morning. Wake back up next day, 6 a.m. Saturdays, I'm working. Sundays, I'm working. But I still make time. Like, Sundays is, like, my dedicated day that I actually, like, I go to Sunday school. I try to watch the service, you know. I pray. I meditate. I may not pray 3 times over the week. But right now, I'm praying. I have that day. So that's what works for me. Like, I have that one day that I'm doing that. But like Casey said, sometimes when I'm walking in the work, I'll be praying for myself. Because Lord knows, I can you not in customers be so rude. So I got to pray, because sometimes I just be wanting to reach across the counter. But I pray my strength every day. But if like something's on my mind during the week, you know, I'll sit down and I'll talk to God about it. When balancing school, social life, work, God, it is tough. It's very tough. I mean, it really just takes like discipline and dedication for real.
Right.
That's what it takes. So if you really want to dedicate some time to God, just do it. Like, do it. You know, start slow. Maybe start with like 5 minutes a day, and then maybe you'll get to like 20, and then maybe next week you'll be at 30. Maybe it'll be every morning. So it really just takes discipline and dedication. So if you really wanted to do, you would do it. So
also listening to, I tell people, I listen to gospel music when I first wake up. And that's just so it can set the tone for my day. I know when I don't do it, my day be so messed up. That's just for me. But when I do it and I take that time or say a quick prayer, God, thank you for waking me up this morning. Even if I don't go in, you know, my closet or get on my knees that morning, I do, before I even roll over and touch my phone, I have a habit now where I'm just like, no, I'm going to pray. And it did take a long time. It did take a lot of discipline. For me to do that. Now I'm trying to work on actually reading my Bible like I'm supposed to. That's something that I'm trying to work on, you know, to understand it more. It's just like my teachers, I feel like in Bible school, they went through the Bible in depth, but I feel like I was so young to where I understood when I needed to, and then I went about my business. But I feel like now I need to really understand it so that I can apply it to whatever situation I may face. And so I realized that actually helps me on a day-to-day basis now, where I can speak out of scripture real quick to kind of set the tone or set the mood or set the atmosphere wherever I may go. So I say that to say, you know, work on it. As long as it's you and God. God knows you better than anybody else. You know yourself better than anybody else. So I would say really take that time and take it seriously. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people be like, oh, I'm going to work on it. Don't work on it till when it's going to be too late. Because if God snap his fingers today or tomorrow, are you going or are you staying right? Sure. So I say that to say on a serious note that we have to get it right first before we can encourage anybody else to get it right. However, you know, we're still supposed to be encouraging people anyway in God's word, but I will say this, you know, try to not to be one of those people that you be like, oh, girl, you should do X, Y, and Z, and you ain't making no progress with your own stuff. So I will say take it day by day. Make that time to basically say when I'm going to pray, and make it your business to follow through. I feel like we follow through with a bunch of stuff that we really want to do. But when it comes to that word, praying, spending time with God, or listening to gospel music, I feel like we kind of lollygag, but we dance around it. However, God understands. He knows your heart, and he knows, you know, how you are, but don't do him like that. I tell people, because if God do us how we do him on some days, we'll be screwed up. So I say that to say, because his graces and mercies carry us on a day-to-day basis, I will always make it my business to make sure I give him the glory in some type of way. Whether you do that once a week, work on twice a week, do whatever works for you. That's all I have to say about that. CJ, you can add whatever, my bad.
No, you good. Go ahead. You know what I'm saying? I'm listening and taking it in myself, you know. I'm gonna keep it real. I haven't really ever, you know, lack in the spiritual realm and I lack in church, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, as a young age and like we were trying too early with all the pressure and everything. Hold on. All right. I'm sorry, my little sister. being in church and that pressure and everything like that. As babies, you know, me and my little sister was both prophesied and everything like that. So, you know, we was told that, you know, I would, you know, things like that. And my sister, you know, she would be easily willing to get her clothes off her back and, you know, just all kind of stuff. And, you know, me being stubborn and kind of naive, both mentally and, of course, at the age of, what, like 6, 7 when I first found all of this out, you know, and kind of still, maybe in the past 3 years, I kind of still be a little bit negligent to it. But just having that fear and not really wanting, you know, those type of abilities to come to me, and know that, you know, that may come across my path one day that I may have to deal with, whether I like that vision or not. You know, it kind of caused me to be a little distant when it comes to God and everything like that. So, I know, right? You know,
no.
Things in my personal life and everything like that. You know, that's family or whether that's just dealing with my demons and everything like that. Things are getting better, so. I will say within, like, the last 3-4 months, you know, every now and then, I've been coming more frequent with, you know, I have the Bible app on my phone. I'll go look in it every now and then, read a couple of scriptures. I pray at night, you know. And then, you know, God's starting to make more effort of meeting me halfway. You know what I'm saying? Like, the day I can, you know, things come across my mind. I may speak out loud, and then I start speaking in tongues. You know, and just conversations about him will come along throughout the day, and then just kind of allowed me to open up a little bit more on that side of the ball. But I definitely wasn't the person to be, you know, reading the Bible, keeping the faith more persistent or consistently like I should, especially being a, you know, church kid, you know what I'm saying? But I'd say I'm a pretty good example of, you know, this topic. Yeah.
I feel like over time, our spiritual gifts are something that we try to understand on a day-to-day basis. If you have a spiritual gift, you know that struggle. And like you said, it's because I don't necessarily want this gift. You know, but God calls the right people to do whatever the assignment may be. And I feel like for you, you already know we had this conversation outside of this all the time. What's meant for you is meant for you, and you have every capability to do it. So just keep pressing, keep pushing, keep working on it, and God will do the rest. So I can say you already know.
I got you.
So yeah. So the next one, you guys, is somebody said how to deal with your church family/youth hurting you, especially when y'all are close.
Let me just go ahead. I ain't finna go into too much detail, but this is the first thing that should be on your list. Relationships in church with the youth ain't it. It's not it. It's
not
it. It ain't it. I've been in 2-3 of them. It ain't it. It's not it.
Like, all jokes aside, that's just
like,
not
for real, it's really not it. Like, honestly, it's not it. Especially if it's, you know what I'm saying, because being in that closed, confined space and then trying to have a relationship with it and all that, and then y'all only seeing each other at church, you know what I'm saying? Being young, y'all got those little fantasies and everything like that. And those
exactly. Are
coming to play. And you just can't get it in, but you're going to try to be sneaky in church and be ungodly and try to sneak in. Like, we all, at least I can say that.
And then it's just like.
We can all say that. But, yeah, it's a mess. It's just a mess. So try to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, and then it's just like we said before, you got church people watching. So it's just like you can't really have. Or if you try to call yourself in a relationship or trying to deal with somebody,
they're going to shut that junk down.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, man.
It's like the worst thing in the world. So, no.
Snitches, man. Mom and
I don't advise it for nobody.
Mom and dad will be notified by the time they give off.
By the time they church in. Matter of fact, by the time they get up to pray.
You're not even going to have time
to even get out your mouth. I want to message you.
Man.
So how did y'all deal with like that hurt? Did you feel like the hurt came from that person or it came from the church causing that hurt?
It came from the church causing the hurt.
So it wasn't that person's fault at all.
No, honestly, I mean, well, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead. All right. So coming from experience, I say 2 out of 3. All three relationships, it was both. But just because how young we were and everything like that, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't nobody really ready for no relationship. Like, we was way too young for that.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? You know, that whole treatment and stuff and everything started coming into play. So the trouble started coming from the relationship. And then on top of that, you know, trying to make things work. And then you had those adults coming in trying to tear y'all apart too. That just causing more frustration. So really, the whole party sharing a good amount of battle with that too.
It's like it's disappointing. So I'm like, dang, I really want to message you, but I can't really message you. It's like it never works. It doesn't matter how much you try to make it work, how much you try to sneak around, how much you try. It just that's not the move. It doesn't work. So I would advise that.
And two, if you are sneaking around, don't do it because you're gonna reap the
right.
You're gonna reap from it. At the end of the day, you in God's house, and you shouldn't be, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you think it's innocent now, but when you suffering for something later, you're like, oh, hell, this is why I'm struggling.
And that's the mindset of an 18-year-old. That's just the mindset we have. I mean, we don't think nothing's wrong with it, but the adults in the church, they see a lot wrong with it, and it's just, it's like, what's
but
wrong?
Later,
I'm just trying
and
to,
two,
I'm just
sometimes,
trying to make a life. But they don't.
And two, sometimes they save you from that person because I know it's a lot of people that I should have talked to in church. Thank God I did not continue to talk to that person. I'm glad somebody did get involved because I was about to be choking somebody soon.
You know, yeah.
No, strangling, not choking, strangling.
You know, I couldn't. The one of them, I couldn't stand her mother because she would always get in between and try to step her. And y'all too laughing because y'all don't want to talk about it. But anyway.
I had to deal with it too.
Anyway, I couldn't stand her mama's guts, man. But I get why she was upset. And I also see
in ways while she was trying to get me to move around from her daughter.
Now that you older.
Because she knew where her daughter was.
Yeah, she is, you know what I'm saying, she was being a little, she was telling her daughter's business, and like, she know that she was fast and everything like that, but I wasn't trying to hear it or anything like that, but now that I'm, you know, been there, done that, long time,
for that. Oh.
Yeah, I kind of think her now, and then when I found out what was really going on, you know what I'm saying, I was like, oh, I might have kind of dodged the bullet, I might have got grazed, but you know what I'm saying, I ain't even sick, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, just listen, like for them relationships, man, just try to avoid them. Young church relationships, try to avoid them.
Don't even try to go towards them, right?
Yeah, especially if y'all not seeing each other outside of church. If y'all definitely not seeing each other outside of church, it's gonna be the worst thing ever.
And some people act different the way than they act outside the church. Exactly. So that's a whole nother issue.
Exactly. Yes,
but that's a whole nother topic.
High time is kind of, yeah. But, Miracle, what you have to say?
Y'all talking about being fast and sneaky. Listen,
the story that we can tell. The story that we can tell.
What and how much time you got?
That's funny. I met. So I'm gonna spill some tea right real quick. It's not tea, but so I met my current boyfriend at our church. Well, not at our church. I knew him previously, but he used to come to our church sometimes. But like I said, I guess like the church relationship actually helps us now. Because it's like certain things, it's just like, oh, we can't do that. Like you know, you used to go to church with me, we can't do that. So it's church. I wouldn't necessarily call it a church relationship because I met him outside of church.
The foundation was set outside of church. I got you.
Outside of church. Like, I met him outside of church and didn't meet him. I ain't had no church relationship. We would sneak around the corner.
No, I'm sorry.
I definitely would say, like you said, be careful with the church relationships because people do not act how they act in church, outside of church. I witnessed that from somebody else that I know. That boy was
the nastiest ones.
The nastiest ones.
They're more than the nasty ones.
But church relationships, but dealing with hurt from church relationships, I don't think I can say that somebody in the church has hurt me. That hasn't happened yet, and I hope it don't, because Lord knows.
But tell the whole church.
Yeah. The church didn't know about the service.
When it's starting between like a circle of friends too.
That's another thing. These cliques in church, y'all will get older. Yeah. So you thinking My Little Ponies and stuff, Lord, I'm telling my age. But My Little Ponies and all that is all y'all gonna be fruitful. No, I'm telling you right now. When the teenage years come, people start to change, meaning attitude, personality, look-wise.
People that hang around, I'm telling you, it's going to all change. Because those it can make and break a friend group in church. I promise you with that. I've been at both sides of my church. It can make or break a friend group, I promise you.
Yeah. It really can, because I have some people on Snap from church. Their stuff that they be posting on Snap.
The most skeptical.
It's a little skeptical. It don't line up with nothing. But like I said, we are young.
And we
that's
are humans at that too.
Yeah,
so.
You are human. So I think when you say church relationships, I mean, that helped with your growth. Like, good thing you dodged that bullet and her mama was like, no. Like, look at it now. What could have happened if you would have ignored her? I really do think it's all about growth.
Yeah.
It's all about growth.
Yes, Lord.
And two, I want, okay, how will you say with as far as, okay, we talked about relationship, but what about friend-wise? So say if something, CJ,
Oh my God. Okay. Let's have it.
I'm not gonna let you throw shade.
Let's spill some tea then. Let's spill some tea then.
So how did you deal with that situation between you and what's the name? You, I ain't gonna count on names because
I mean, but if the shoe fit. You know?
Oh, the shoe fit.
But yeah, how did you feel? How did you feel about you and him? Say you okay, so I'm gonna say you have a friend of a friend. There you go. And yeah. Say they like somebody you like. And they went and behind your back. You like. Right. How did you handle that? How did you handle that?
Was you hurt? Was you disappointed?
Did you wanna beat his tail? Like
tear him up from the floor up.
And did he learn his lesson? Are y'all still friends? Did he learn his lesson? Do you still feel like kicking him in the shin?
I don't think he did, but hey, you know. Hey, go ahead.
It's not the shade. It's a
controversial topic.
You sound like you're a robot.
You sound like you're
a robot. It's a controversial topic because when it was first fresh, I was hearing from two sides. Like, I was hearing two sides of everybody. It was telling me one thing to do, another thing to do. And simply, I mean, I just wasn't, I'm not the violent type. Last thing I ever do is fight. Like, that's the last thing I do. That's what I'm gonna fight. If I can talk myself out of a situation, that's the very first thing I do. But, you know, when and the first thing was looking, let's say that we were friends and 6 years old, right? So, you know, me and this dude been chilling since 6 years old, and the comments happened. Like, going through that, I would say that I kind of set myself up for the situation, but that still don't make what he did right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I kind of set myself up for that, but I wouldn't accept to the kid to play for doing what he did, because that would be lying and sneak if I was to say that. But, you know, I wasn't more so angry. I wouldn't even say angry. I was just more disappointed in both him
and myself. I expected more out of you.
I expected more out of myself, you know what I'm saying, to even allow myself to be put in that position and then over with a female that at the end of the day had both been doing this wrong. Then on top of that, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't worth what we were fighting over, to be told. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't worth it at all. Especially since she didn't go to the same school as us. Me and him went to the same school. She didn't. So, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just too many red flags. You know what I'm saying?
Red flags.
Lord Jesus.
Y'all done heard the story. Y'all done heard the story. But I'm going to save that for another podcast episode. But I'm going to leave it. Like, I wasn't, like I said, I just wasn't disappointed. I wanted to talk myself out of the situation so if me and him could talk it out, work it out, which we did. You know what I'm saying? You know, that was great. Would I say he learned his lesson? To a certain extent, but at the end of the day, overall, though. is he still doing kind of what he did to me to other people? Yes.
I don't think that's going to change, but.
But like I said, though, that foundation that we set at like six years old, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, and I will always still call him my brother because, you know what I'm saying, that love, you know what I'm saying, even though you backstabbed me and, you know, all that.
It's
still brotherly love, you know what I'm saying? That love will never change, you know, so.
That's really... Can I say I admire you for that, talking about some it's all love? That is
because it would have been all hurt.
Growth,
yeah.
Everything, because it would have been.
hell would have broke loose.
for you to get to that point and be like, it's brotherly love, even though you hurt me.
Yeah,
it's the true definition of a Christian. Like, to be able to forgive someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be able to forgive someone after they hurt you like that. That is amazing.
But yeah, it ain't for the weak though. It ain't for the weak. If you know that you couldn't do it, please don't try to put on the front like you can, because I promise you it's hard to do.
Oh, I can put on the front. If it's
oh no, I don't know some people that are saying that they'll do that, but when that situation comes, they ain't handling no certain
hell gonna break loose. I ain't built for that. Yeah. I ain't built for that.
I'm telling you, it ain't for the weak. It ain't for the weak.
God is still working on me.
Mm-hmm.
Cause when you let the bet out the cave. And it go on you, that's on you. On me, that's on you.
That mentally, let it stay that way, because, man, you will break your whole entire mind.
See, God know what he be doing. He put certain of us in certain situations.
Yep, we sure do.
We do, and I see. Yeah, we do.
And it's okay because you're gonna run, especially when you get to college, y'all are gonna run into those trifling people. If you already faced it, it ain't gonna be the last time because people is worse.
They grind me.
And then they do it, and this is the thing, they'll do it right there while you standing there. That's how tempted you are gonna be to slap their head straight out their body. Yeah. But I will say you can get through it. It's called maturing because sometimes even when you walk away, that will make sometimes people so mad because they're just like, dang, I couldn't get to them or dang, I couldn't get to them. But some people cause you to have to almost put your hands on them or cuss them out. Not saying that it's right, but what I'm saying is some people you have to reach on another level.
Yeah. Don't let people walk all over you. Sometimes you gotta let them know.
Right.
And sometimes you ain't gotta cuss them out. Just be intelligent. Because the dumb people don't understand intelligence. Mm. And them half of the time be the main people you be dealing with. Mm. So I say that to say, kill them when they're intelligent. Don't even have to be ignorant. Because they are gonna expect you to be ignorant. But this why I always tell people, even when people like start to fight people, I be like, if you already know you can beat that person up, it ain't no need to prove
that.
Why are
you fighting? Literally.
It's no need to prove that. You already know you can cuss them out. Do it and keep it pushing. You already know it's going to hurt their feelings. Do that instead of doing something that's going to cause you to be penalized. Because then you're going to be mad. Yeah. Right. Then you're going to be mad because now you got suspended because of them. You're going to be mad.
Now you got this reputation.
Yeah. You're playing in their hand. You get another satisfaction that you said.
Or now you have that reputation, like Casey said. Yeah. So what you do, sometimes it is a test from God to see what you're going to do, how you're going to act. Because we are made in his image. So some situations, of course, they tested God in the wilderness. You really think that I'm going to test you?
Yeah, how much growth you really made.
Exactly. Yep. But I'm going to say this. Every action has an equal reaction. Every action got an equal reaction.
And we're going to be careful. And we're going to leave it at that.
Yep. Big grief. Big grief.
Because they can get this big clap clap. But
correct. But we're not clapping them though because God didn't clap me. There you go. I felt that. He didn't clap me, so I'm not gonna clap you. There you go. But when I do feel like a temptation is coming along, that's him clapping me. I'm gonna clap you. There you go. But anyway. Anyway, you guys, so the last and final one we're going to talk about, you guys, is this is a serious question. All jokes aside, everything that we have talked about, of course, we have laughed, we have had fun. But somebody asked me this, and I most definitely wanted you teens to really answer this question from a teen standpoint. So somebody asked me how to stay close to God. Mm. So really reflect before you guys answer. Really reflect and really give a different answer. I want an individual answer from each of you how to stay close with God, no matter what we may go through, or no matter what may come, or no matter how I may used to live, how can I stay close to God?
I'll go first. Go ahead. I would say staying close to God is for you to figure out. As a person, that's for you to figure out. Like, I can't tell you how to stay close to God because what works for me might not work for you. How I stay close to God is I'm a thinker. I like to think a lot. I like to go into deep thinking. So sometimes it takes me to, like, center my thoughts on God and everything he's done and everything I need. And that is how I get closer to him, by centering my thoughts on him, to allow him to flow my thoughts and, you know, day-to-day and everything. Also, listening to gospel music helps me get closer to him because it helps my spirit. You know, it sets, like Katie said, it sets the mood. It sets the tone. But there's so many ways to stay close to God. I think you just have to find what works for you. Like, you don't have to do one particular thing. There's so many things to do. Maybe meditating, maybe yoga, reading the Bible, listening to music, talking about God, speaking to God helps. So you really just have to find the balance that works for both, that works for you. That's really all it is. And being close to God is what you, it's what you make it. I don't want anyone to tell you that because you don't do this, you're not close to God. No one on this earth is entitled or has enough or is worthy. I don't want to say worthy, but no one on this earth is entitled enough to tell you that. Because that's not your relationship. That's not their relationship. It's between you and God. At the end of the day, when you enter those gates, the day of judgment, it's going to be you and God. Not you, Christopher, Josh, Emily,
come on, man.
And God. So don't find what works for you and build on that. And don't let anyone tell you what you're doing is not, it's not working. If it's working for you, it's working for you and God. So, correct.
All right, Casey.
Oh, like she, I mean, she pretty much, you know, answered it. Like what she said, I can't make it work for you because you're your own individual person, and whatever you do is you between you and God at the end of the day. So I can't sit there and repent for you for something you did. So it's just like that's something you have to answer to God at the end of the day. So
okay, so would you say asking for forgiveness is something that you have to do to stay close to God? You think
in a way. In a way.
Okay, why you say in a way?
Howard, repeat that question. I'm sorry.
I said, do you feel like you have to ask for forgiveness to stay close to God? Is that something that you feel like you have to do?
Not you laughing at me. I mean, it really depends on the situation because, like, say if it's a situation, God gives us chances at the chances. So it's just like, I feel that I need to do that, if that makes sense.
Okay.
To keep it pushing. Because if Lord knows, the stuff that we be doing as individuals. He could really been done with us a long time ago, but you know, he still gives us chances at the chances. So I feel like I'm not gonna say all that to him, but all that to him in a way. If that makes sense.
We do. He give us grace and mercies every day.
Exactly. So yeah.
All right, CJ, you up. Got to see you soon, my boy.
All right. You thought you ate with that one.
Dang it. No, you thought she did something.
You thought she ate.
Right. So I'll say what's worked for me with keeping my or the little bit of relationship that I do have, you know. You know, back before COVID and everything like that. You know, being with the youth, you know, participating in youth activities, fellowshipping with brothers, sisters, friends, family. You know, you quiet. You know, as much as I talk smack about not wanting to lead a song or sing and everything like that, not wanting to go to practice on Friday afternoons and everything like that, like as much mess as I talk, at the end of the day, I enjoyed it. And even though I maybe didn't want to lead that song, at the end of the day, when I sung it, you know what I'm saying, I felt, you know what I'm saying, it did at something. You know what I'm saying? I felt good in the end, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I felt like that's a step closer. You know, that's a little bit, a little percent closer to what I'm trying to reach, you know what I'm saying? Not only that, I want to say a few months, I want to say maybe 6 months prior or before we were introduced to COVID. I just had joined this male mime ministry that our church has started, and you know, me and my friend, you know, y'all too know Casey and Ken, you know, we was always, every time we'll see the females do their little solos and everything with it, me and them, we was like, man, we was always like, man, I love to do that. And so, but we will never, ever go up and ask somebody over that ministry, like, hey, can we do this? Can we join this? So yeah. We just wound up having that conversation to my auntie that was in the church. And so, she had the balls to sit there and talked to the person over in ministry and was like, hey, these two want to like, they like this. They actually love it. You know what I'm saying? How about we get them into some mom makeup and everything like that, and they get to doing it. And, man, if I don't tell you, like, I love doing it. Like, that's the most best thing I've ever done. Like, the best possible thing that I could ever do in that church would be that. Because the feeling, the emotion behind it, the feeling and emotion that it gave me, you know what I'm saying? Like, our first performance, I can't remember what exactly it was for. I believe it was for a play that we did. And it was me, him, his younger brother, and another little kid. And, man, we was all up there doing our thing, and the feelings, emotions afterwards, it was just crazy. Not only amongst the crowd just, you know, applauding us for our performance, but what we felt from each other, what we felt from ourselves, and just, you know, being grateful to be there and do what we did and do it outstandingly. So I would say being involved, you know what I'm saying? Dude, like, just being involved with little stuff like that or big stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't for what my auntie did, like, that feeling would never have been a lot for me, you know what I'm saying, or for him or for anyone. So, you know what I'm saying? Make sure you have people like that in your corner, too, that'll kind of get you or force you to get out your comfort zone. You know, because if it wasn't for her doing that, like I said, that this feeling would never be possible. You know what I'm saying? So just make sure, you know what I'm saying, you do, like Miracle said, do what works for you. Everybody connects in a different way, in a different form, in a different style. Some way, somehow, is different. You know, the overall goal is the same, but how you strengthen that connection, how you even establish the connection is different. So just do what works for you, bro.
Wow, y'all really have took me back with these, like, just the responses, it just continues to blow my mind, because it's like you kind of see that you chose the right people, and just now to see how y'all have grown into almost being young adults, just crazy. But I will add to this, the scripture that came to mind that I could remember was James 4:8. And basically it says, the I know the beginning says, come close to God and God will come close to you. I don't know if I'm like count that. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Meaning all you have to do is leave that door open.
Yep.
That's what Bruno Mars said, but I'm telling you what God said. He said, open up that door. Come close to him and he will come close to you. Meaning I will give you that experience. I will give you that love that you need. I will, that grace and that mercy will forever come towards you. But I will give you that favor and everything more that you could possibly ask for if you just come close to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna continue to give you everything that you need. But when you draw close to me, the access, that the key that to the door you just opened unlocks everything you could possibly imagine. So I say that to say, come closer to God. And for somebody out there, it's come close to God with the way that you are. Because, see, you don't have to go to him perfect. He knows you're not going to be perfect. You don't have to go to him in whatever element, in whatever way you want to go to him, you go to him. You know, because he's not going to judge you. He's not going to talk about you. All God has for you is forgiveness and love. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? So come close to God so God can come close to you. Meaning he's begging you. He's asking you, I want to be closer to you. All he's asking you is just to walk right through the door. That's a one-step process. That's all he asks. Nothing else. So you come to him and he will come to you. Because he's always watching over you. But now he's going to come face to face to you. So I say that to say, it seemed like us youth for the last, since before this pandemic and during this pandemic and coming out of this pandemic, it seemed like we're really evolving. I don't think that's just because people are 3 years older than what they were when we started this pandemic. I say this to say how I know is because we literally, Miracle, I think we were the last people to perform, actually. right before COVID. And you know, the funny part is, CJ, I feel like that was Youth Sunday for everybody nationally. And that was the funny part. So when I finally look back at all of those things before COVID, all of it was Youth Sunday globally. So I'm like, God, not only are you moving, but the youth are standing up for who we know you are to be. So I say that to say the youth are not done moving. We're opening up that door so God can come to us because we want to be closer to him. We actually understand all that training, all of that crying, all those tears that our parents have did over the years to really instill that in us. All of that is not forgotten. So I say this to say, if you're a youth or a young adult, you know, it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to take our place because our parents can't do it for us no more. And so, it's gonna take at least 10 of us youth that are serious to lead the 10,000 to come forth and to be like, okay, we're gonna get this thing right with God, but we're gonna do this thing for God. And when we could make those two decisions, everything else will fall in place because God already said all we need to draw him closer. Meaning the more our youth draws him closer, the more he shall unlock the restoration, the healing, the delivering people from whatever they may have been dealing with. So I say that to say that youth Sunday we did right before COVID hit, when I'm telling you the Holy Spirit hit all of us, all the youth. We're not talking about just the older ones. We talking about the babies was hit that Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was mind-blowing because I'm just like, what in the world? Like, Miracle, you remember when you was like, I ain't never felt like that before. Like, I had my moments, but it was one of those things where I was taken back because I'm just like, this is what God, you've been trying to get us to understand our whole lives. And now we're here. It's like, dang, we got to keep going because that door is already unlocked, but we just got to keep going. So I say that to say, you know, how you stay close to God, go to him. That's literally what it says. It say how you stay close to God, go to him, and he will stay as close as you need him to. He probably squeezing in his own spiritually, and you may feel the squeeze, you may not, but just go closer to him so that he can come close to you. That's literally what it said, James, chapter 4, verse 8. So yeah. Anybody else have anything they want to add?
Well, I enjoyed this podcast, and we need more goddamn questions, and we need more topics to talk about. How about that? How about that? And yes, Casey, I thought I ate.
I wasn't asking if you thought you ate or not. Mm-hmm. I know you ate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big grits.
Yeah. On the boo boo. What that boy Julian say on the boo boo?
Y'all are a mess. I honestly enjoyed this. This actually went so much better because I was expecting to be full at the end, but like I'm full. Just by everything has been said, I'm most definitely full. So if anybody doesn't, Miracle, you have anything to add before we close out? Okay. Is she still here? Okay. All right. So we're going to close out, you guys. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap up of season 5, episode 2. This convo definitely cleared up some stuff. Thank you guys so much. Hopefully someone was able to relate to them and the questions that we were asking some type of way. I know I could, and I know I'm most definitely full. Stay tuned for the next episode, you guys. Love y'all. Bye. Y'all say bye to them. Y'all say bye to them.
See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All
right.
Second wave. Bye.
See you later.
Bye. All right.